Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ.
Amen.
Are these the last times?
Yes.
Are we at the end of the age? Repent, because tomorrow you don't know if you'll still be alive. You know, I felt that way in my 20s. I was a student at Geneva College. We're reading this book, The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. Anybody read that book? Yeah. I said, holy smoke. He's reading the book of Revelation. He's interpreting the book of Revelation. And this symbol meant America. And this symbol meant Russia. And this symbol meant China. And there's going to be this Armageddon battle at Armageddon. And there's going to be a big war. And the four horsemen of the apocalypse, war and famine and pestilence and death are coming, and a third of the population will be wiped out, another third will be wiped out, and it's going to be terrible. Scared the heck out of me. Hal Lindsey sold a lot of copies of that book. He made him close to a millionaire. And there was another book by LaHaye. Remember Left Behind? Yeah, it was big a few years ago, and suddenly, before there's going to be a rupture, a rapture, and people are going to pop, boop, 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 and I would end up in heaven someplace. The rest of us will be in the pestilence for the Antichrist. Wow, it's going to be terrible. The good guys won't be here, so I'll probably be around. There's always been these predictions. I mean, around the year 300, the book Revelation, it was interpreted that the Antichrist was a Caesar and Babylon was Rome. A problem happened when Constantine was converted to Christianity, so the emperor became a Christian, and it was a Christian. Well, we can't say he's the Antichrist because he's a Christian now. So there was confusion about that. And then around the year 1000, 999, people, Christians started committing suicide because at that year 1000 comes to be terrible. It's going to be pestilence and war and end of the world. And then, well, we remember this too. Remember around 1999? Y2K, people buying water, building bomb shelters, it's going to be the end. And, well, Hal Lindsey said the end would be the year 2000. I think he missed it. See, there's just this need for some people to read the Bible and use it as a Rorschach test to just bring out what they want, to sell books or to scare people, and you get a lot of this stuff. I mean, the fact of the matter is we're living in a transitional time, and it's not easy. We're no longer, leave it to Beaver and Father knows best, but we're not here yet. We're betwixt and between, and that's a hard place to be. It's a hard place to navigate. And we're not the only people that have experienced times like these. I mean, when we look at our gospel reading today, Jesus was preaching in betwixt and between times. Jesus was talking about the great temple in Jerusalem. That was one of the wonders of the world. This was a magnificent structure built by Herod. It was plated in gold. And if you were on the Mount of Olives and coming down through the Kidron Valley, and the sun was shining, it was almost blinding, the glory of the temple. This was the house of God. This was the power of God with these big stones that were tons and tons that made up the temple. It was huge. It seemed like this was indestructible. This was the house of God and nothing would hurt it. Shining in glory and awe. But then around 70 AD, the Romans came in and destroyed the whole temple. There's only one part of the temple still left, the retaining wall called the Wailing Wall. Jen and I were there in 1986, and people were there. There's Jewish people praying, there's Christians praying, there's a place where you can write little prayers and stick it in the cracks of the Wailing Wall, and Jen and I did that. Jesus is saying today, don't try to figure this out, okay? There'll be people that say, oh, this is what the Bible says and this and this, and they try to predict what's happening. But don't put your trust in people. Don't put your trust in events. Oh, there's earthquakes, there's wars, and scam. Well, this means this is the Antichrist. This is that's baloney. Don't put your trust in buildings. They come and go. In fact, somebody told me that was painting the church 2 years ago, you know, this church won't be here at Christmas time. He missed it again. 2 years later, we're still here. We live in the promise. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. How? When? Jesus didn't really give us a big answer about that. That's when it's important to read the Bible and really read the Bible. You know, the main thing is the main thing. Jesus calls you to do something, yes. He calls you to live in a way that makes sense of these times. Just like our spiritual ancestors told us and taught us. What are we to do? Worship. Pray. Know your Bible so these political hucksters don't lead you astray. Know your Bible. Do service of love for one another. Build one another up. Find those places of compassion and peace and rest. People are nervous these days. They need to see Christ in you. Don't seek God in some far-off place. Oh, it's going to happen in 10 years or 20 years, and this is going to happen, that's going to happen. It's all baloney. Although some people are very convincing, and they sell books and things about this and stories on television and stuff like that. But rather seek Jesus now. You're baptized. You've received the Holy Spirit. Seek Jesus now. And like our Jewish brothers and sisters, tikkun olam, tikkun olam. Work for the repair of what's happened to the earth. The repair of relationships. Repair of your own body to eat right and to get your sleep and to exercise and to read the Bible and pray. Our spiritual Christian mystics and our forebears, like St. Paul, like St. John of the Cross, like Thomas Merton, teach us not so much to focus on the future. That's in God's hands. God will take care of us. Trust in God. But what's Jesus doing right now in your life? What's Jesus calling you to do now in the world? How are you to be a light in a dark world? How do you be the salt in a tasteless world? To prepare a place in your soul for Jesus to live right now. Not tomorrow. Not in 10 years. Now. You see, as we open to Jesus, the Spirit that is with us comes into us. And we know that Jesus has returned. Ask Annie. She's a Holy Spirit sighter. Remember that? You had the cuttings to do at your house and the taking care of that. The young man came down and helped you do your lawn. Remember that? And you told me it's a Holy Spirit sighting. That's the Holy Spirit's working all the time, folks. For those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Yes, Martin Luther teaches us that God's kingdom is coming. Regardless of what we do. But we're to ask that that kingdom comes to us. That we can notice it and point it out to other people that need to hear the good news. Go preach the gospel. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Yeah. It's not just a prayer we pray. It's a reality to live. And that's the hard. It's not easy, but the Holy Spirit gives you the strength to do that. Have you experienced Jesus Christ in your life? No, yes or no? I mean, don't stare at me. Have you experienced Jesus Christ in your life? Have you experienced Jesus Christ through baptism as your Lord and Savior? Is Jesus Christ more important to you than the religious right or the liberal left? Is Jesus Christ your guide through these dark and dangerous times? Do I hear an amen? Okay, we're getting more Baptist all the time. Keep it up, folks, keep it up. You know, as a pastor, some of the most sacred times of my life is people They trust you and they let you into some of the joys like baptisms and weddings. Although I smiled at the wedding we were at on Friday because I didn't have to do it. But yes. But the time of people approaching death. And that's a very sacred time. Now, my second cousin, Pat Coldy, true Christian, Joan met her. She was dying. And a few days before she died, she wrote this: "Faith in God is such an important part of my life. Without it, life would be frustrating. We all need something we can believe in, so our lives will be more meaningful. In this past year, if I did not believe in God, if I did not believe God was in control, it would be so discouraging." Faith gave Pat hope in her pain, in her suffering, for a better tomorrow even. She had two mastectomies. She struggled with cancer for 10 years. Radiation, chemo. But she kept fighting back. She knew she could witness to her three sons and others with love. And she got strength from people's prayers, from her church, from her pastor. And her faith gave her courage. You know, I wasn't with her when she died, but the people that were with her said she died in peace. She died in her Lord. And when she died, Christ came to her and the Spirit and the angels and took her to heaven. She abided in Jesus and Jesus abided in her, and she knew it. You know, St. Paul knew this by telling us in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, "God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts." Jesus gives us hope, saying that in spite of the false prophets, in spite of corrupt politicians, in spite of wars and rumors of wars, in spite of earthquakes and famines, in spite of religious hucksters, do not be alarmed. These are but the beginnings of the birth pangs. The birth pangs. Something new is going to be born. The book of Revelation, which Hal Lindsey missed, and he gave this late great planet Earth, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. You know, our daughter-in-law, Zara, on Thanksgiving Day is going to give us a granddaughter, God willing. She's feeling pretty miserable right now. She's pretty big. She's bigger now than she was when she had her first baby, Rowan. But they're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to it. She's going through her birth pangs. But something new and beautiful is going to be born. Rowan's going to have a sister. I'm going to have the first. I never had a daughter, but I have a granddaughter. Well, she'll be in Singapore, but you still have a granddaughter. Yes, Jesus will return. That's our hope. The good guys win. Love wins. Joy wins. Health wins. Salvation wins. Christ will return. And the thing we have to understand is that Christ has already returned. We let Him into our hearts. Look for Christ in your heart. Look for Christ in your neighbor. Look for Christ in nature, in the world. See, St. John, in his prologue to his gospel, said, "Through Jesus Christ, all things were made." It means nature reflects Christ too. The chipmunk, the deer, the little bunny. And your neighbor reflects Christ. And for the person you can't stand, you might have to do some excavation, but there's Christ there too. Christ there too. One of my favorite writers is a Quaker, a mystic, Thomas Kelly. He has a book that's a classic, and I love it. I go back to it often. It's called A Testament of Devotion, Testament of Devotion by Thomas Kelly. And he tells us that in each one of us is the slumbering Christ. The slumbering Christ, he says. And the slumbering Christ is awakened in you through the Holy Spirit. I mean, we're going to celebrate Christmas here in a month or so. Well, then Christ is born. But like this mystic said, what good is it that Christ is born to Mary unless he's also born to me? The slumbering Christ needs to be awakened. And there's an old Christmas carol that I love. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. As we let Christ in us to awaken us, we can discover Christ's life and voice and presence in us. Wherever we are, at work, at play, here, anywhere. And the pain of going against the way of the world you may feel is a birth pain, because in you the slumbering Christ is being born. You know, as we reflect on this today, I want to ask you two questions, right? To what extent has Christ come again? And to what extent has Christ returned in your life? And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.